Welcome to Smart Finance 360, the podcast where money matters meet innovative thinking. Every week, we dive deep into the world of finance, exploring trends, debunking myths, and bringing you the latest insights from industry experts. Whether you're a seasoned investor, a financial newbie, or somewhere in between, this is your go-to source for becoming financially savvy. All right, welcome to another episode of Smart Finance 360, your mortgage and more. Today, I'm really excited because we have Aki Dares on today. And he's going to talk a lot about real estate in Utah, being self-reliant through real estate investing. And we're also going to talk about ADUs. So if you're listening to this, these are going to be some good stuff. But dude, Aki, thanks for being on.
Thanks for inviting me. Happy to be here.
Yeah, it's going to be great. So let's dive in real quick. How do you even get into real estate? How did it happen?
So I just say this. I was out serving in California. And I served LDS Mission.
Cool.
And I had a person tell me, well, I had a companion, and he would put on Rich Dad Poor Dad books at night. And I was too lazy to go out there and turn them off. And I said, but I couldn't sleep. I was so enthralled with everything that it was saying and cash flow and everything like that, how to become self-reliant, that it just like kept my mind running until 3 o'clock till I passed out. And I listened to like his mom literally sent, it was funny, his mom of this missionary sent him all these like, or tapes, because that, and we listened to tapes, and we went through the whole books, and he would fall asleep, and I listened, so I felt great, and I would just be thinking about this stuff as I go throughout my day, and I knew when I got back, I knew I wanted to be self-reliant. I didn't want to think about, and my time is worth a certain amount per hour.
Yeah.
I just hated that. I remember I worked at an airport and I was like, I can't buy this burrito because that's an hour of work. I said, is that really worth it? I said, no, I'm just going to go with these fries on the side. I'll just go a half an hour work. And that's where I was like, there has to be a better way. Yeah. How do I get out of this sort of rat race or this thing where so many people were sort of the world almost pushes so many, and education, everyone pushes them into the system where it's just paycheck to paycheck. How do you get out of that? So
it's pretty sweet that, you know, every night you're listening to the Rich Dad Poor Dad gospel.
Or Kiyosaki, right? Or our Kiyosaki gospel, basically.
And then serving the Lord during the day. And
yeah, there you go. It worked out.
Smart during night. So self-reliance through real estate investing. What was kind of, you know, how do you apply it when you get home? What was your experiences? You know, what was your first time? And then let's just kind of, you know, start from there. And then.
So I remember I wanted to do real estate. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I just knew I wanted to be a real estate investor, at least have properties and have them pay for my lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't know what to do. But I remember as I was struggling as an agent, I always thought to myself, I was like, I can't tell people to do something that I'm not doing. Mm,
yes.
So my wife and I, we saved, we scrambled and everything like that. And I remember when we bought our first place, and I remember like, when we first got it under contract, we were freaking out. We had no, we gave everything, basically everything we had in our savings at that point towards the deposit because it was a build. And then we were like, how are we ever going to afford this? And it came to a point where I was like, I think we're going to cancel. I think we just have to lose our money
out a little bit. Yeah.
But I remember the first time I stopped paying rent, I started paying towards something, and I got that home ownership dream, and it was something new. And then leaving that, moving into a Rambler and having a paycheck coming in from that townhome of $500. And I said, this is really nice. And I remember building a basement and having $2,000 from that or whatever come in. I said, holy crud.
You're onto something.
This is something good. And I, at a certain point, I was like, I'm living for free. I said, this is what people need to know. This is what people, it is possible. I was at that time 23 years old, and I know interest rates are lower and stuff like that. Maybe it might take a little bit longer, but strategically investing and knowing how to use ADUs, play around with what the state offers and everything like that, strategically investing, you can literally live for free. And then you can have your car paid for free and all these other things in your life just covered where. And it comes to a certain point that it becomes so much fun. And it's just these giant stresses are lifted. And I always tell people, I say, because I now do fix and flips and all this other stuff. And I've done A to Z basically in real estate investing. I always tell people, I say, first start with your own home. Like, don't jump into real estate. I mean, you can do whatever you want, but I always tell people, like, try that stress of being a property owner and knowing what it's like to actually pay taxes and blah, 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 and utilities and everything like that. Then do a rental or one or two rentals, and then come and do fix and flips and other stuff like that, where you're making, it's not residual income, it's not long-term investing, it's short-term, and there's a lot more risks, it's a lot more stressful, but it's so much fun as well. And so, sorry, went all off tangent. No, but that's
exactly what I wanted to hear. I mean, yeah, I think it's a great thing to have. The strategy there is awesome. And, you know, you mentioned ADUs, which I'm going to ask you here shortly in a second about that, just because I think that's a huge topic right now, especially in the affordability in Utah. But yeah, I mean, I think especially younger couples, if you're good at savings, you have the opportunity to save, definitely. I mean, and another thing right now with equity in Utah, which is, you know, favoring to us, is, you know, you could buy your first house, take out a HELOC, which is called a home equity line of credit, and use that for a down payment on a new house. And people do that all the time if they have a hard time saving a ton or being able to afford a lot. And so, you know, there's a lot of things. And then my first house I ever bought had a mother-in-law apartment, and my mortgage at the time was like $2,400, I think, and the basement was $1,000. And it was really cool to only have to come up with $1,400 because that's what my rent at the time was. So I basically went from rent to mortgage. It was the same.
Exactly.
It was cool. And then you learn little nuances. You know, that was when I was jumping into straight like renting to becoming kind of, you know,
homeowner, which is really good,
But I learned a lot, and I learned what I didn't like and what I did like, and I hate managing these properties. So for me personally, I always use a property manager. I just can't do it.
Yeah.
I'm too nice. I just can't. Like, I'm like, I can't do it. I'm just not good at that.
And we offer that service as well, but
yes.
That is one of the things. So I always say, I always tell people this. I say, if I gave you a Lamborghini and I said, I'm going to Thailand, take care of my Lamborghini, I want it in the same condition, I'm being back in 5 years. I use this because this is actual real example of someone I know. That Lamborghini is going to look like a Honda Civic.
By the time it gets back.
By the time I get back. Yeah. And I say, the best way to do this is you might have to put in 30 minutes a month. Mm-hmm. Go check out those places every single month. Check in with your people. These are, because now those people as well, I've created relationships with them. And I know if they're losing their job. I know if they're struggling. I know it may seem like a lot of work, but right now it's like 4 or 5 hours a month of my time. But it saves me a whole lot of headache because I can move people around and move them to wherever I need to be before I have these giant vacancies or they just say,
you don't have to become a firefighter at that point.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So what's your favorite thing that, I mean, you mentioned all the other types of investments. What's your favorite right now that you like doing?
I'm really big on fix and flips. Right now we have 17 properties that we're doing. I have a couple of different business partners because it's just so much. Like I always tell people, if they want to go into real estate investing, just come sit in the car with me one day. And then I remember my assistant even, I went out.
Post about that.
Yeah, I got
Garth Aki.
Get in the car with me, take a drive, and you might regret that decision. It's so much fun, but it's so stressful. It is so stressful, but I love doing it because I love giving product to clients, actual good product to people. There's so many people out there that are just like, oh, it looks like they'll paint over pipes. They won't even cover it up. I was at a house. I'm like, what is this? Like, come on, guys. And I just see that and it just breaks my heart. I'm like, you can do so much more. And there's so much lack of like people that are willing to actually put their best foot forward. And what I've said, like, it's really cool because now my comparables, my homes that I flip are the highest comparable anywhere. And the reason why is because if I spend, in comparison, someone might spend $100,000, I'll spend $200,000, but I'll get that back. I'll get the return I want. I know we're not trying to go into fix and flips
you're
and all
seeing
this,
it, but I think that's good. That's a good point though.
But you're seeing like what you give, you're going to get. And a lot of times my home sells so quickly, I don't have to worry about it. And so I think like fix and flips, but also what we talked about, we're going to get into ADUs.
Yep.
Creating homes or getting homes and making ADUs out of them.
Yeah, let's just talk about that now.
Yeah, let's hit it. Let's hit it.
So tell me a little bit about, first and foremost, people listening, what is an ADU? And then tell me kind of what's going on in the state of Utah with ADUs, just that really help affordability.
So accessory dwelling unit, that's the bottom line of ADU. Now there's a detached, attached, all depends. And what you're seeing is there's the Olympics coming. We're going to have the World Cup, all these there's going to be a ton of people coming and staying in Utah. And the state is putting a huge amount of pressure on the cities to accept these. So now is the time if you're like thinking about doing getting into these or getting into real estate investing or something like that. Like that's the this is the time.
Yeah.
Because the state has so much pressure on the cities to accept these that they're just getting accepted left and right.
Pretty awesome.
And sorry, no, I
can't believe because before it was so.
It was a nightmare. They would take 3 months to approve it, and now at 3 weeks, 2 weeks, they come in, they look at it, you sign a thing, and the cool thing is it's this giant push towards, sort of being able to rent out. We don't have enough space in Utah. Huge housing crisis. We all know that. That's why their prices are so high. Taking care of that housing crisis, and you're seeing multi-generational housing. And this is now providing an accessible multi-generational housing where three generations don't have to share the same kitchen. And so what I do is I'll flip these homes and I'll put an ADU in. And then as well, as you know, lending, there are programs that will give, I mean, you can explain it, 50 or 75% of the potential basement rent in that place to help you qualify.
And it helps offset your debt-to-income ratio. So essentially what they do is they project what that rent's going to be, and they take that back. So there, it gives you much more buyer power. Mm-hmm. So you can buy a much nicer house that you can now be approved for because they're giving you that extra income.
Exactly.
And now, so A, you have a nicer house you live in. B, now you have renters as well. So it's phenomenal.
As long as you're willing, and you did that. That cool thing is that your first home was that.
Yes.
Like I'm helping some people get in there like, well, I don't want, I'm like, this is your path that you can take. That's probably path of least resistance towards getting out of that rat race,
yes.
Towards your wife finally not having to work that part-time job and take care of the kids. That is your path, because if you can have homes working for you, life becomes a whole lot
easier. Yeah, it's also another, I have a whole group of people who are like, well, I wish I was old enough, or I wish I could buy in 2020 when rates were in the twos and the threes. And I'm like, guess what? You can kind of go back in the future with an ADU, because having that house with that rent to offset, you'd be surprised of how close the payments, the mortgage payment actually is close to that. So ADU is amazing right now as far as like being able to have affordability. So with these ADUs being approved, so does that mean a lot more builders are building them, or just a lot more people?
That's the problem. You think a lot of builders would get on. I'm not trying to throw down any builders.
Yeah.
But I mean, there is R5. R5, I'm not trying to advertise, but they're huge. That's like, and hopefully more builders get into this, because this is we have affordability crisis.
Yeah.
But if you look in Salt Lake County, homes under, I just barely did this yesterday, so I know the exact number. Homes under 600,000 with a mother-in-law, there's 14. Remodeled homes under 600,000,
zero.
Zero. And I have three that are coming up under 600.
That's amazing.
So I'm just, what I love to do is because I always tell people, when you invest, you can't change your sale price.
Yeah.
That's based on market data, and it's not really going to change too much. You win on the buy, and like I've been able to win a lot on the buy, and I mean to be humble in this. And I love winning on the buy because now I can give an incredible product to people. We're helping
remodeled.
Right. For like 5:30.
Yeah, that's
5:15, where it's like, how do you get this? And it's a lot of fun. And so I work with investors. I call them my investors in training, because I can't, I obviously can do a lot, but it is a lot of work. And then I help them also learn how to do this so they can get these homes. And then every single home we get has an ADU.
That's phenomenal.
So we're solving a problem. We're solving this housing crisis.
And that's the way to say, I mean, that's why I was going to ask, why Utah, you know, just because a lot of people are saying, oh, it's too expensive here.
Let's go to Texas, Florida.
Let's invest in like a random, you know, state that's a lot cheaper. What has been your focus of why you focus so heavily on Utah?
So Utah, we call it the tail fin of the U.S. economy.
I like that.
If the economy, we're always stable. If the economy is going down, we're going to be here. And the reason why is we have the lowest unemployment per capita, other than Alaska. I said that. But per capita, we are the lowest. So that means there's jobs, and there's plenty of jobs around, and people are working. Sorry, I apologize. And when people are working, money's flowing into the economy. People are spending. And it's just this, where the rest of the nation, I mean, we're not going to, I won't point in the United States, but it's just like, in that section, they have, I don't know, 23% employment or something like that, which is there's no money. Only certain areas are growing. But Utah, it's this nice flush between you have a large middle class. There's plenty of employment. People are working. It's a safe area. And not only that, take the greatest economy in the United States. Sorry, guys. I'll live elsewhere. But greatest economy in the United States. And take that with the sixth lowest in taxes, in property taxes. You're not going to find that anywhere else. You're not going to find people that can pay your rents, that have the least amount of vacancies. And then on top of that, you have the lowest like payments, really. And if you think about that, the amount of property tax takes up of a payment and the amount that you're never going to see that. It's all to the state. And Utah focuses so much on home ownership where they give that back. They give us that opportunity. And they're so great at like budgeting that we were able to stay in that. And I think that's why Utah, I mean, not trying to say everyone come to Utah, but I think that's why Utah's such a great place.
Yep.
And doing so well as far as investing and everything else.
Yeah, it's a great place to invest, great place to live. The schools are phenomenal out here. And so it's a great area. And with that ADU being approved in a lot of cities, I think that's going to be a huge surge to help with the problem. Maybe not a surge, but at least it'll help.
Exactly.
You know, I would love for more of the builders to jump on this because I know in different areas in the United States that we work with, we're a nationwide company, so we work with, 48 states. But there is areas outside on the East Coast that there's new builds in the whole neighborhood that are all with ADUs.
With ADUs.
And that's awesome because now it's easier for the appraisers too because you got the future comparables right there, ADU to ADU. So it just helps so much. And I'm really excited. And I think for people that are looking to buy a house with ADU investing, boom, you got two doors. It's one transaction. A lot easier than two separate transactions. You got it in one transaction. It's awesome.
And it's not like so many people, I love when people come to me and they're like, but you have to buy a duplex. You have to buy a triplex. And I said, you really don't.
No, you don't. You don't have
really
to.
Really don't.
Yeah, doors. I think about it. It's the
doors. It's not doors. It's not meters.
Yes.
We don't say meters. We call it doors. In investing.
Yes.
And that's the difference. Yes, you can get to a certain point. At a certain point, it makes sense. But I say duplex, triplex, four. I mean, I know one client, we were able to make this work. He got a home for $550,000, put $200,000 in with everything, was able to make it because it was a certain home, worked out that way, make it into a fourplex.
Wow.
Where he's cash flowing
a lot,
$5,000 a month.
Yeah, good for him.
I mean, he calls me, he's in Paris or he'll travel the world. He'll listen to this. He knows who he is because I talk about him all the time. That's like the golden example. I haven't found something like that. But still, like, that's a perfect example that, hey, it's possible. Maybe not to that level. Maybe it is, but it's possible. And that's a way that you can free up. I mean, right there, you're making $60,000 more. I mean, even with the simple, if you can get up to $3,000 cash flow, which isn't super hard. It's a couple of doors working out, maybe refinancing over time. That's almost $40,000. You know, that's like a part-time job.
Yeah, it's a lot. And then once things are paid off after 30 years, if you're doing a 30-year mortgage on it, maybe you have it off. You got all this equity. There's all these things you can do. I always tell people that every American, American dream is definitely having a house for sure.
Home ownership.
But even the bigger dream is if you can have at least one rental property as well. I just think to diversify your portfolio just because it's nice. It's really nice to have that. And then this guy, he probably has a lot of rental properties, so he can definitely, just live. And so it's a great investment for people. I was going to ask you, protection. About the protection piece, being a real estate agent right now, you're helping people get investment properties, you're helping them, but you're also protecting them in the transaction. Tell us a little bit about that.
So many agents, they're either focused on the commission or they're focused on getting the home. And a lot of them don't know that one of the people, and I've seen it, it's crazy. That's why when COVID happened, you saw people were putting $50,000 of people's savings and saying, let's hope this works out, right? Yeah. Let's just throw this out there, non-refundable. I never did that. And I still had a 95% acceptance rate. And I didn't risk.
Awesome.
Yeah, I know. It was crazy. But there's different. You have to know the real estate purchase company. You have to go, I'm a real estate broker. In that broker test, they test you thoroughly throughout the REPC. And I love that thing. I read it every single day. It's one of my Declaration of Independence and Ref C right here. Yeah. You know, it's like I love it, and it's so important to me because it's the protection for the buyer, and it's all about it. All comes down to that deposit, and that deposit is so important. And so many people don't even, they disregard it. They don't.
Yeah.
But that deposit also can help you negotiate, and knowing how to use that deposit and knowing how to play around with, but also protect your people at the same time. It's huge.
Yeah. I mean, 95%, that's an incredible, especially during that time as well.
It was crazy. It was crazy. I have some fun stories, but like we always, even if it took 24 hours, we would do our inspection, and they felt better about me that someone would put almost the same amount of earnest money and have non-refundable.
Just
the reason why is because a lot of people then also just like said they'd put it and then they just ran away and they blocked their number, ran to a different state, whatever. But there was a lot of that. But what I did, I said, I can't take away that right. That's a buyer's right. That is a buyer's inert right that they should have the right to know what's wrong with the property.
Yeah.
Do a property inspection. At least have 24 or 48 hours. But we can rush that. We can get that in. So they have the right to look at things. At least make that quick second decision instead of just being like, I walked through this home once and I hope it's good. And I'm going to put X amount of money and hopefully everything works out. And the other thing that I do now is I work with, I'll say his name, Rick Silva, Utah Appraisal Solutions. He's one of my business partners. Every single one of my homes that I have off market is pre-appraised. Every single one of my listings I pre-appraise. And any offer, I give Rick a call. I say, Rick, we're really serious. Now, I don't really call him on every single thing. Yeah. Like, once we know we have a property, I give him a call. I say, Rick, this is what I'm thinking. He'll look up the MLS 2 minutes. And usually at that point, we know whether or not it's going to pass an appraisal or not. I have a guy that's worked in that for 30 years.
Yeah.
So it's this huge protection where it's like, I know now the ins and outs of the home. I saw the inspection. I know the price. And in 48 hours, I've now protected my clients.
And that's the one thing I always tell people, like, as a lender, like, please use a real estate agent. If you don't use a real estate agent, we've seen so many times and time again, stuff like that.
The
worst story I've ever had is they didn't have a real estate agent and they wrote the contract and $100,000 earnest money hard. And this was just a middle-class person. That's a lot of money. $100,000 is a lot. You know, it's a lot of money for a millionaire, but like it was their whole life savings and they wrote it wrong. And thank goodness they came to me and got actually pre-approved, fully pre-approved. We closed that, but I just let them know. I'm like, guys, like, you didn't have to. And they were the only offer. Like, this was years before 2020. But, like, it's stuff like that, you know. And right now there's so much confusion with the NAR, you know, lawsuit. Tell me what your thoughts on that with the commissions. What's your thoughts?
So I actually see, I mean, a lot of agents that don't know what they're worth or, like, don't know why they're being agents. They're scared of this. But a lot of my friends and groups, it's always been the same thing. It's always been the buyer's going to pay. I'm just scared for people because I've seen actually, I'm in this group and we've seen sort of what these forms are going to be. And they are a little bit more confusing.
Really?
So have an agent, work something, but also make sure you know, like, have an agent that's understanding this stuff. Because if not, you might be forking out $18,000 on top of all your closing costs.
Yeah, so I mean, at this point, it might benefit the agents that actually do the work.
Exactly.
The ones that don't do much.
Or they read the contracts. There's a lot of people that don't read contracts.
It's crazy. Yeah, so, it's a lot. It's a lot. And, you know, it's the most important investment or purchase for most people, to be honest, too. So, you know, the fact that you know the ins and outs of that contract, you understand the regulations, you understand what's going on with the NAR and all that stuff, the lawsuit and stuff. So I think that's important. But, dude, great having you on. We got to get you on again. Talk some more stuff. Any last things you want to talk about that you were thinking on this that people like to listen?
No.
How can they get a hold of you?
Oh, just Facebook. My number will be attached to this podcast. And you can always reach me at Integrity Realty Utah. Facebook, Instagram, TikTok.
That's awesome. Well, guys, if you're listening to this and you want to get into real estate or you want to, you know, expand more of your portfolio, maybe you want to learn to do fix and flips. I mean, there's other things that you can, you know, expand on real estate. Aki's the guy. So
thanks, my friend.
Thanks, man. I appreciate having you on.
I appreciate it. Thank you.